Hi, everyone. My name is Valentina. I've been working at VIA for the last 3 years. I'm part of the partnerships team, and I'm very excited to have Nicole with us today from the city of Sault Ste. Marie in Canada to talk about the innovations that they are doing over there in terms of transportation, which is a perfect topic for our podcast, The Dispatch, where we talk to multiple organizations and cities across the globe about what they're doing to innovate their transit networks. So thank you so much for joining us, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. And as you mentioned, I'm Nicole from Sault Ste. Marie, and I'm the manager of transit here with the Corporation of the City of Sault Ste. Marie.
Thank you again. So I think to get us started, it would be great if you could tell us more about the Sault. I don't know how many people who listen to this know about the Sault. It would be great to hear more about who lives there, what is your transit network like, how many people live there, et cetera.
Yeah, of course. Sault Ste. Marie is, like you said, more commonly known as the Sault, and it's actually a vibrant community. There's about 73,000 people here. I was fortunate to be to have been born and raised here, and we've got a vast mix of urban and natural amenities that offer, you know, safe, affordable, and active lifestyle. We are located right in the heart of the Great Lakes, so it is an outdoor enthusiast's paradise. We are emerging as one of Canada's best outdoor towns. We have groomed cross-country ski trails, downhill ski trails. We do fly fishing. We have, you know, four very distinct seasons. We have lots of parks and beaches, and it's just a really great community to not only visit, but also to live in.
And I was lucky enough to actually visit you last September when we started working together. We got really nice weather, and I got a chance to actually experience everything that you're talking about. Really nice outdoors, very nice people, and actually really good food, which I don't believe you mentioned. I really enjoyed some of the restaurants there.
Yeah, no, that is true. We definitely have a great culinary industry in Sault Ste. Marie, and our community is just very welcoming and very friendly, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Definitely. So what is your transit network like there? I know that you have quite a few universities, so a lot of students. Tell us more about the type of riders that you have in the Sault.
So our transit agency actually began in 1941, and it was essentially to commute workers to and from Algoma Steel. And it's obviously evolved over the several decades. We do have two post-secondary institutions here, Sault College and Algoma University, and they are, a vast majority of our riders. However, we do have a, wide variety of riders for numerous reasons, similar to other transit agencies here in the Sault. We have seven conventional routes. We run 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we also run a parabus service parallel to our conventional service.
Thank you. And let's just dive a little bit deeper into on-demand transport. It would be great if you could share with everyone why the Sault decided to go on-demand in the first place.
Yeah, of course. The concept of on-demand was actually research from what other transit agencies, there was one in Ontario, as to what they were doing. And as a result of this research, it was decided to pursue an on-demand pilot project for our community, as it really could essentially be the future of transit. So as to not disrupt the overall ridership in Sault Ste. Marie, we did choose a time that had historically very low ridership. And even at one time, we didn't even offer transit service at this time, which was Sunday evenings. And actually the concept of offering a new and innovative way to service our passengers was quite exciting. So that's the reason we decided to pursue it.
And I know that a lot of people might be wondering right now, even before we talk about what the service is like, how many buses, times of day, et cetera, the change from fixed route buses to on-demand. How did that happen? How are you able to tell your riders about this change, get them excited about it, get them to know how to use it? I was there actually with you when you were doing a lot of this, and I think you did such a remarkable job at telling riders about this change, and it played a huge factor into how successful the service was from the very beginning. So if you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, of course, and thank you. We did have a very intricate marketing plan that began 2 weeks prior to the launch. So our Sunday service, our Sault Ste. Marie on-demand service runs on Sunday evenings only from 7:15 to midnight. So what we did is 2 weeks prior to the launch, we launched our marketing campaign. It included radio advertisements, online advertising, social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, press releases. We populated the city website and updated all of our transit booklets. We emailed all of our partner agencies and all the schools involved, informed them of it. We had posters made up and signage that we put at our key locations, so at the universities, high schools, the main transit terminal, our transfer stops, the locations that all bus passes were sold, as well as on the buses. One of the major successes that we had is we actually had all of our transit staff out there on site. So for the two Sundays prior to, we had transit staff, whether it was an office member, an operator, a supervisor, myself, we were right out there riding the buses during that time. So with every passenger that came onto the bus, we had a postcard size pamphlet made up for them that had all the information they needed in regards to the launch. And we also tried to get all of those individuals to download the app as soon as they could, so that they had the app on their phone, they could take a look through it prior to the launch, which is actually on Sunday, September 8th, 2019. So we were really out there working directly with the public throughout the entire time. We rode the buses for two Sunday nights prior to the launch. During the week, we had staff in at our main transit terminal handing out these pamphlets and educating the individuals, having them download the app. We have security at the terminal, which we educated them on, and they passed it along in case they got any questions. So we tried to get it out there and blitz everything as much as we possibly could. Then the evening of the actual launch, we had all staff on hand. We had staff at some of our busiest bus stops to actually help people download the app who would have been otherwise waiting for the bus to get the bus to call for them. We had additional people at the terminal. We had people on site in order to go drive around town and go to bus stops where the people were waiting, educate them, have them download the app, provide them with the marketing materials. And in addition, we had business card size information, I guess kind of mini pamphlets made up that the operators continued to give out that evening and every successive Sunday after that in order to educate people. But we had a lot of bodies and transit staff available out on site, you know, not just the 2 weeks prior to, but afterwards as well, to continually educate the public. And of course, we continued our social media, we continued our radio ads, we continued with our posters and emails in to, you know, all agencies and schools. So we had quite a robust marketing campaign, and it did prove to be very successful. And yeah, and like you said, it did lead to the success of the on-demand launch for sure.
Definitely. And I think what was particularly interesting about it is that you basically moved from your fixed route service one Sunday to the on-demand the following Sunday. And I think a lot of people might be thinking, wow, that's a huge concern, because what happens to all those people that did not hear the radio ad or did not see it on the papers? But by having your team ride those buses and waiting on the bus stops, you successfully managed to train and educate a large portion of the population that takes that bus. So I personally was very impressed by how the city of Sault Ste. Marie handled marketing. And I think, as you said, really contributed to the success of the service. What would you say are or have been the main drivers of success of the service?
I think the main drivers of success are a wide variety. First of all, the work with the VIA team was huge with that in regards to the process to set up the system right from the get-go. It was very well organized, you know, very strict timelines, and we worked very well together with that. So right from the get-go, I think that was how it all launched to be successful right from the start. In addition, I think a key to success, like I briefly touched on earlier, is definitely driver engagement. Continually training and working with them, taking their feedback. And I want to thank our drivers for that, because they have been phenomenal. Also working with, you know, the support team with VIA and the tech team and all of our transit supervisors here. I think that a lot of that was definitely key to our success. Everybody working together with open communication. And in regards to our passengers, I hope that we were able to, you know, with every complaint, address the concerns and know that, you know, we were taking care of it. And then we worked well with you all to ensure that we were trying to improve it. It was a matter of blocking off a street or, you know, taking away a U-turn or whatnot. I really hope that we were able to, you know, get confidence in them that we were really working to improve the system. So I think it was, you know, a hybrid of a lot of different areas, you know, working with VIA and all the people there, as well as our team here at Transit, working well together and all striving for success.
We talked already about the times of operation of a service. You mentioned that for the first year, it's been during Sunday nights. I think a lot of the people listening might be curious to hear about the types of buses that you're using, the number of buses, and the size of them particularly.
Yes, of course. So here in Sault Ste. Marie, we're actually using 40-foot buses. So that was one of the biggest challenges that we faced, because on-demand is essentially, you know, made for even vans or smaller buses that can more easily navigate through all of the roads. Here in Sault Ste. Marie, we were bound to the same roads that our regular routes are on. So it made, it affected the efficiency just a little bit, because instead of going, you know, taking a shortcut through various, you know, residential streets, it was longer to get from point A to point B, right? So that proved to be a little bit of a challenge. And also, you know, with a 40-foot bus, it's harder to navigate turns. We can't back up. We're bound to those roads. So it did definitely pose a challenge. However, we made it work. We refined the pickup and drop off locations to our current bus stops. We do have a couple of virtual stops, but we refined them to those also for safety reasons, because our winters are quite long and we had to make sure that there was no safety issues for our passengers in regards to getting on or off of the bus. And we managed to make it work. Our completion rate is continually improving, which is incredibly positive. And we do look forward to future replacement of our fleet to include smaller buses to be able to continually refine this to provide more flexibility. However, like I said, the 40-foot buses were a challenge, but working with the operators, it's really them who made it work. So yeah, so we're really proud of that.
Yeah, I think this case is really interesting in how you made it work so successfully. As you mentioned, I remember going road by road and identifying the ones that were viable for these buses to go through, as well as what stops made sense from a safety perspective. And eventually it did end up working, right? You're going to talk a little bit more about the operational results and how well they have been even trending up. And as you said, it's all to do with how your operators have actually adopted the system, have continuously provided feedback for you and for us to help improve it and refine it. So thanks for that. And the next question I have is, what has the response to the service been like so far in terms of ridership growth? You already talked about the stop points. I know that there was a lot of feedback about that at the beginning. So if you can just tell us how riders have reacted and even drivers too, operators.
Yep. So I'll start with the operators. I mean, like I said, overall, the success of any project lays on those individuals who are executing it, right? So obviously, as with any change, there was a little bit of hesitation at the beginning. However, we did involve the operators, as you know, in the online class, in the in-class training that we had with VIA and on the on-road training, and we continue to do on-road training throughout. However, once you actually implement something, the training is always a little bit different than when you go live. So we did have a couple bumps along the road. However, we were very fortunate that our operators were willing to work with us, provide us the information, and we in turn worked with the VIA team and were able to overcome a lot of them and smooth out the bumps along the road. And throughout the time, you know, our operators have really gotten on board and have adapted well. Some of them actually prefer the on-demand much to the conventional service because it provides them a little bit of a change and, you know, diversity in how they're driving and picking up and dropping off. We have a couple who prefer the conventional, which is completely understandable. You know, and we still have training to do. There's always areas for improvement, but I think key to success is definitely driver engagement and working well with the operators and with VIA. And I think that we've been really fortunate with that. In regards to the residents, we did, like we talked about earlier, a very vast marketing campaign. And when we started, a few of the passengers who were riding Sunday Night Conventional said they're not even going to try it. However, we had the majority of them that were very intrigued by it. And as time progressed, overall residents seemed to have really adapted well, specifically the students. They really seem to enjoy this service. We've got, like I mentioned, two post-secondary institutions. And in discussions with these students and the union, a vast majority of them seem to prefer this over conventional due to the efficiency. You know, traditional or Sunday night service, it's 1 hour service. Whereas now the estimated wait time is on average 14 minutes. So that is a significant improvement. And our ratings are typically about 4 out of 5 stars, which we're quite proud of. So we do still receive some complaints, but we try and take those each one at a time, look into it deeply, working with VIA, and we seem to get through them. And that's how we're kind of continually working to improve and refine the service.
Great. And you already touched a little bit upon this, but can you dive a little bit deeper into how the residents of the Sioux have adapted to using on-demand? Because I think a lot of listeners might be wondering, there's the change management piece with operators, which you discussed. How did this work with riders? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, with the riders, changing behaviors can be quite difficult, right? Because for so many years since transit began, it was essentially the bus came at a certain stop every day, the same time of day. So they kind of get, you know, ingrained in that behavior. So for example, on a Sunday night, somebody may need to pick up the bus and they always go to the corner of a certain intersection. They pick it up at a certain time, they go to work and they come back. So with this, it was a little bit different because with the algorithm and depending on where the service and all the buses are at, they could request a ride, it may send them somewhere else. So it kind of threw them a little bit, you know. However, with anything, as time goes on, people adapt to the changes. So once they got used to it, once they got used to having to book and knowing that they may be picked up at a different spot every time and could potentially get dropped off at a different stop spot every time, once they got over that and understood how it worked and realized that they would be getting picked up quicker, and then they would have to do no transfers and get dropped off where they wanted to be. They seem to adapt quite well to it. It takes quite some time to change behaviors, right? Because everybody's been used to something a certain way for so long, but we're still working on it. Overall though, with the continued marketing, and we did push notifications and we used the app once we had it, we tried to remind people of the service hours, how to book, kept pushing out the marketing, and there's been vast improvements over, with the residents' behaviors towards this and understanding how it works, so are more accepting of it.
Makes sense. Thank you for that. The next question I have for you, and I think, again, a lot of people are curious about, because this is quite an innovation in many places. So how did you fund this project? There are so many different ways to fund microtransit out there. So how did this particular project unfold for your community? How did you make it happen?
So here in Sault Ste. Marie, what we did is we actually made it quite simple. We just calculated the average cost to run a bus per hour. So we took our overall, you know, expenses and financials and refined it down to the cost to run one bus per hour. And then we based the funding on how many buses we could take off. So if we took one bus off per hour, we would have this much available to fund a project, and so on and so forth. And obviously with the more numbers of buses you took off, the more, you know, funds you'd have available to fund a project. So here we originally had 9 buses on a Sunday night. We were able to take one off, and now we weren't 8 buses on a Sunday night. So we used those savings to fund the project.
I think that's actually really creative. And I don't know how many of the listeners out there have actually thought of going about it that way. So thank you for sharing the unique story, I think, by way which the Sioux actually thought about funding a project like this, which is really interesting. So if you take a look back at the past year, in what ways has your transit network changed? Obviously, this is a particular example of that change, but have there been any other things that have changed in the Sioux when you think about your transit network?
So I'm actually going to go back 2 years. Sault Ste. Marie Transit underwent a route optimization study over 2 years ago, and that actually resulted in a major change of all of our conventional routes. It was the first time done in, I'm going to say, about 20 years. So it was a significant project, and it took about a year for the community to adapt that project. So once that was kind of all settled in, we then added back some hours into our Sunday service. Again, which took a little bit of an adaptation from our community. And then immediately following that, we implemented our Sault Ste. Marie On Demand. So our community and our operators have been through quite a bit in the past 2 years. All these changes were to improve the service, provide a more efficient service, not only with On Demand, but also with getting, you know, to and from various locations in the city of Sault Ste. Marie. Because over the years, the city's developed in different areas, so we had to further accommodate that. And when, you know, you look at ridership, it's actually all proven to be very successful. successful as we've continued a month over month increase in the ridership. And this is due to a result of all of those, the changes in the routes. Our student population has increased significantly over the last couple of years. So that's been a huge success story with transit. And also we've had some partnerships with local agencies that have also increased the ridership and increased our transit, ridership overall. So there has been, the last 2 years have proven to be, a lot of changes that have benefited transit and hopefully our community.
One question I wanted to ask as well is, how have the key performance indicators of the service evolved over time? So some of the ones that we measure and you and I talk about a lot are the ETAs, the estimated time of arrivals. We also talk about obviously rider growth and how that has evolved over time, utilization rates or even completion rates. And for the listeners, the way that we define completion rates is out of all the proposals or out of all the requests that are actually made into the system, how many of those rides are actually completed? Because we have some rides that might be not accepted once they get a proposal, or that they might actually be canceled. So we look at that percentage of rides that is actually completed. That gives us a good indication of how healthy the service is overall. And I think the SUA has done a remarkable job at dramatically increasing that over time. So do you want to talk a little bit about the key KPIs?
Sure. So I can say that when we first launched this back in September, our completion rate was a little bit lower. Obviously, we had a lot of requests coming in, but we also had a lot of individuals, we believe, just kind of testing it out. They would book a ride and then cancel it, and book a ride and cancel, or book it and not show up. And, you know, it was the very first night, so it was a lot for our operators as well. So we did have, I can't remember the exact figure, but our completion rate was quite low because we had significant a number of requests and not a lot of completed rides. However, as time went on, our requests went up and our completed rides went up, and it took a while and our completion rates came up. And that was also with, you know, operators getting more experience with it. And also, as we talked about earlier, our passengers having behaviors that changed to better understand how the process worked. So in regards to ridership, it's been steady. It's remained pretty steady as to what it was before. Sunday night's a tough area for the SUA because, like I said, it is always been very low ridership. We don't have a lot of stores open, if any, just a couple restaurants. So it's tough to get ridership up to increase at that time. However, it has remained, which is very positive. And over time, our completion rate, was hindering around, 75. And now we're, getting higher up closer to 80, which is great. Our drivers are doing a great job. Our passengers are understanding the system. They realize that when they book it, they're going to have approximately 15 minutes. But are given the exact ETA when they book it, so they have better expectations of when to get it. And how the app works is they actually get a notification when the driver is, close to picking them up, and also when the driver is there. So the communication that they get is also great, which helps with the KPIs. We have a high utilization, like we talked about earlier. One of our biggest challenges was using the 40-foot buses. However, because of that, we can fit more individuals on a bus per time. So that's of our benefits. We're able to transport more individuals using less vehicles because of that. So, with every negative, there is always a positive side to it. And that's the one with our 40-foot buses. So we're really proud that we have been able to, continually increase our completion rate and continually, work with our operators and with our passengers and kind of take in all their feedback to refine it.
Now let's think about the future. Can you tell us more about how you see the transit network at the SUA evolving, and particularly how you see the service, Sault Ste. Marie On Demand, evolving moving forward?
Of course. So I do see on-demand technology becoming utilized more and more throughout transportation as agencies are going to continue to try and look for a better, more efficient way to service their communities. And I include Sault Ste. Marie in that. At this point, we're continuing Sunday nights. However, based on our fleet, are going to definitely look to hopefully expand that at one point. And I think there's just so many different models that you can utilize with on-demand. It provides so many more opportunities for transit. You can have, like we do right now, our conventional routes during the majority of the time and starting off in a small time frame to launch the on-demand. You could have on-demand during non-prime time hours and keep your conventional routes. You could do a hybrid model. you could utilize on demand for to service other additional outlying areas of the city. So I do believe those are all options that we're going to look at moving forward with transit. And we're going to continue to work closely with like our local agencies and our schools to make sure we're servicing all of the main areas that we need to within the city, you know, and we'll continue to work with you and take a look at what other municipalities are doing as well, because sometimes you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You just need to work with the other municipalities closely and, you know, to see what works and what doesn't work and, you know, have that open conversation with them.